Hello and welcome to a new installment of Casual Trekker. I am Scott, and today we're going to be discussing a non-spoiler review of the latest episode of Star Trek Lower Decks, which I found to be quite hilarious. I personally think it is the best one for me. Like, it's the one I would watch again. I almost did, but I had to go to work. Like, a lot of people I've been seeing so far reviewing it, saying all sorts of things, like it's not that strong, it's the weakest one of this or that. I'm like, it was not. I enjoy the heck out of it. But usually, whenever the critics say that it's fantastic, it's usually not that great. When they say it's not that great, it's usually amazing. And this one, I had a lot of fun with. There's one part in particular where I'm like, oh, how did that get past the censors? I'm like, oh, it's streaming. That's why. But it was something else. And we got some more information on the background of Mariner. So that was kind of cool. And it kind of loosely speaks to another element of a different show on when things happen on a ship and they don't want it to be found out. And so my favorite part has to be the very beginning part where two characters are learning something about someone through someone, and then all of a sudden it's all, oh no, it reminds me of any other show where they're like best friends and then something happens and then they go against something, and then at the end the person's like, why didn't you just do this? And they're like, oh well, yeah, we should have done that, huh? And I'm like, it speaks to that, because it always happens, and it annoys the heck out of me. But when it was done in this way, in this kind of comedic thing, I was like, all right, that was kind of fun. I like that. Because I would totally watch this again. Of all the episodes of the series so far to date, I could probably watch this 2 or 3 times. Maybe 4. Easily. It's not too deep. It's not too crazy. It's not too wild. It's just fun. Good fun. And you get a lot of cool little bits from most of all the people involved in the episode. It's kind of like, I hope they continue to be like this. Like, some people, they tune in and they're looking for, like, To Kill a Mockingbird. They're looking for It's a Walk to Remember. They're looking for Lord of the Rings. They're looking for, they just want this. They want this. It's a Shakespearean story. And this overarching, crazy, wild, cool thing that's gonna win you an Oscar. And those, to me, they're convoluted, or they're not earned, or they're only worked because it's in a screenplay type deal. And those irritate me. Like, the first bit was, I could see how the characters would come to get the idea that one character was kind of like that because of past experience. So it's kind of like, if I go about this one way and then it's not, then these bad things could happen as a result. And when people are criticizing and nitpicking what they would do, they're forgetting the fact of what happens when you reveal something. Like, if I think the next door neighbor is a serial killer and I walk up to them, hey, are you a serial killer? 9 times out of 10, if they are, they're gonna kill me. So it's not always so cut and dry. It sounds good as a soundbite and it works as a critique, but when you use it in the context of any other scenario, it falls apart on cross. I laughed out loud a lot during this episode, and I really appreciated the one element of it where you couldn't say this name right way to save your life. That was kind of awesome. I'm like, so many times I'm like walking up to a street and I'm like, does that say Willache or Willache? I don't know. It's not like the enunciation is pronounced as you walk by, because that would be fantastic. I can't think of one thing that was bad. Like, usually I could if I really tried. But then again, I'm not one to be, like, hung up on negativity, because negativity just makes my Star Trek shelves be bare, because they don't make none. And then I'm stuck in a fetal ball shaking, going, why do I not have any Star Trek? Well, maybe because all the negative nonsense. So I tend to embrace the positivity and the cool things that happen in it. But this one actually really impressed me. Like, I don't go too deep into it unless someone says something like the Enterprise D was destroyed in 2361. Then I'm like, okay, hold on. That would take me out of it. It would need to be that level of craziness that would require like a little exposition. Because if they said that, for instance, they don't, but if they did, I would just need like, oh, there's a time travel thing happened and this happened. Like, oh, okay, fine. Now it all works. But little itty bitty things, there is an explanation for stuff. It could just be as simple as that episode in first season when Ransom was like, oh, I really like Revision of the Toss Era. They're like, excuse me? Yeah, those old scientists. I mean, it'd be that simple. We want there to be some kind of concrete, crazy, wild Shakespearean reason behind something. And sometimes the simplest way is always the best. And a lot of people are like, well, I would have done this way if I made my fan film, and this way, and the other, and I made these many fan films. And then I watch your fan film. Bruh, let's try not to talk crap. You know? Like Pike told to number one, I think it was, in Discovery, season two, episode one-ish, or somewhere in there, where don't covet someone else's starship. You know, you let other things just lie. You just enjoy what you're watching at that moment. And this one here was really, really good. I can't wait as the days go on to see how Trek culture and Trek yards and Psy fanatics, how they all talk about it. I already listened to the gender one this morning. So I'm really curious to how the people who deep dive into Star Trek and they really do the research and the pros and the cons and they say what's not good and what's not great, and then they forget that they're supposed to be enjoying the episode, and that's how critics miss something in the movie, is because they're focused too much on Shakespearean nonsense when there ain't a single episode in any of the series that would make it Shakespearean or better than anything else. They all exist great in and of itself. There's always a way to make things work. And a lot of the time, people be like, well, that's a reach, or that's a stretch. Every single fan theory is a gosh damn stretch. Every single one. And that's what the whole point is. It's going off of what is actually there. And you're making you put a little headcanon in there to how it would work. Now, if you're saying, like, Jonathan Archer got stuck back in 1963, just happened to be November, and he killed the president to change the future, then yeah, that's a little much. But we're talking like a small little itty-bitty nugget of alteration or change to what we know exists. We've already seen, and I think it was season one, where we found out that another ship goes back in time. So if it happens once, it happened twice. And if it happened twice, it happened a shit ton of times. Where other people go back in time, shift something, and then they come back and our characters are unaware, blissfully unaware, of that alteration. So there's many ways to explain things if we really try. But if all we're trying to do is kick it while it's down, then that's all it's ever gonna be. There's easy ways to explain things that detour from what we know, or if they mention something that doesn't make sense how it's mentioned like that. Well, for instance, there's one thing that's called out by name in this episode. And I'm like, what if it's just called that in the log? What if it's just that's just the first line of whatever the report looks like, or maybe they headed out with things, or they describe where they went to, and that's what they put as their top line boldface thing on their report, and that person just happened to read it, and so they're just quoting that. Like, I can describe Pearl Harbor I could describe what happened to Pearl Harbor back in the day, or if I'm doing a report, I just put Pearl Harbor and then describe it down below, and if something happened similar to it, they're like, oh, that's like Pearl Harbor. You know, it's maybe it's just that simple. But in closing, I would say that this is, to me, in my humble opinion, the best episode of season 2 so far, second only to Tom Paris, and only because that opens the question of what would happen if the Voyager crew weren't in all these different newer Star Treks. Because in Endgame, they came back a lot later, past the 2380s, especially in Picard and Lower Decks. How would these things have happened differently now is starting to become the question. But yeah, Tom Paris, second. This one is first, just because of how simple it was. It was just fun. It was just these guys going down, doing their thing, and saving the day in a very unique way. So that was fun. All right, that is where this podcast is going to end for the day. I hope you guys have a good rest of your day and enjoy Star Trek.